It's new music time again here with episode 24 of On the Way Up, WNCW's new music podcast. I'm your host, Joe Kendrick, and this show is just chock full of goodness. Get set for some modern-day honky-tonk and roots rock from Eel and Jewel, J.D. McPherson, and newcomer Haley Thompson King, plus a new double disc from Luna, who fortunately decided to get back together. Plus, we'll go dark with a couple of picks from our Nighttime Sound, a truly deep concept record from Public Service Broadcasting, paired up with a classic track from Joy Division for our segue of the week. DJ for a Day features WNCW Midday host and Rhythm Theorem host Scotty Robertson as we share some stories of just how wrong things can go with live guests on the radio. They're the kind of stories that are for us funny now, but were mostly painful when they began. On the Way Up is available on our website as well as on iTunes, the NPR One app, and Google Play Music. We hope you'll subscribe and leave a rating or comment as you're able, and help us spread awareness of the show and all these great artists that we're playing. You can also become a member here at WNCW quickly and easily on our website at wncw.org, and you'll be helping us continue all of our endeavors on the airwaves and here on this podcast. Starting things today, here's an artist that really knocked me out within the first few songs. I tend to think that after all these years in radio, having listened to so many thousand releases each year, that I would be so used to the occasional terrific record that nothing would be actually stunning. But this came close. I'll say that at the least I was caught off guard. This is Haley Thompson King with Large Hall Slow Decay from Psychotic Melancholia.
Well, girl, I lead with songs of praise. Ever faithful by your side, and I require your undivided heart and soul. Heart and soul. Heart and soul.
That's the Queen of the Minor Key, Elin Jewell, and You'll Be Mine, a song written by Willie Dixon from her Downhearted Blues disc. Noir, country, rockabilly, and now blues are descriptors often used for getting at Elin's music, and she's carved out her own unique sound by uncovering older forms, saying, "It's almost like digging for buried treasure. For me, that's where it's at. I like all kinds of music as long as there's the word early in front of it." Elin took a few years off after her last record, and she is a mom now. I got to see her play recently at Jam in the Trees, and she and her beautiful daughter traveling with her and her dad, Jason Beek, who is the drummer. In the middle was J.D. McPherson in the title track to his latest exploration of roots rock and rhythm and blues, Undivided Heart and Soul. Once the chair of the art department at an Oklahoma middle school, McPherson went from there straight to music full-time, managing to keep his family intact along the way. His sound is rooted in the late 50s, when rock and roll was just emerging, when slick-back hair and rolled-up jeans were the norm, and when the powers that be weren't at all comfortable with the sound and culture of young rockers. McPherson and his family now call Nashville home, but he went to the California desert to gather inspiration for this, his third album, jamming with Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, before coming home to record in RCA's famed Studio B. At the top, Haley Thompson King. Now, she's dealing out raucous garage rock, a little honky-tonk vibe, and a whole lot of heartache and soul-searching on this, her self-titled debut, which she describes as a Sodom and Gomorrah concept album. Influenced by her childhood obsession with women in the Bible, she has plenty to say and also draws from her classical training in opera. She has a master's degree in opera performance from the New England Conservatory of Music, and she can roll her R's like a queen, singing in German on two songs here. It all adds up to be an incredible record with fury and tenderness all wrapped up together, sometimes in the same song. Next, we'll hear from David Ramirez, who was tasked with both simplifying and complicating his songwriting by his producer on the record We're Not Going Anywhere. This is Watching from a Distance.
Assume all you want, that I'm
Do you remember Galaxy 500? Man, I remember playing some Galaxy 500 on college radio. Dean Wareham was frontman there and went on to form Luna in the early 90s and had a great run up until the band called it a day after releasing their seventh album, Rendezvous, in 2004. Last year, the New York quartet saw the release of a box set and started prepping for their reunion, now giving us this double disc, one of covers, the other of instrumental originals. Called A Sentimental Education. That was Fire in Cairo, an early one from The Cure. Luna is touring the Midwest, the South, and the East Coast this November. We began with David Ramirez, who got producer Sam Kassirer along for the ride on We're Not Going Anywhere, an album that gets at David's pop side, while still keeping his folk roots intact. Synthesizers meet singer-songwriter in a way. The album was recorded at Kassirer's studio in an 18th century farmhouse in rural Maine, and that was the song Watching from a Distance. Take that song back about 30 years and it would sound right in place on the one and only David and David record. Time for more music and the debut of Eastern Kentucky's Tyler Childers. This is the title track to Purgatory.
Heaven. My boy, I drink and love and smoke and snort my fill. But all the while, I kept in mind the Lord's redeeming grace.
city where the heathens go. Catholic girl, pray for me, you're my only hope for heaven.
Lonesome town. I think about my darling, though she's far away. Can't wait until I'm coming back around. Yeah, I can't wait until I'm coming back around. Too many roads, cold wind blows. I think of you, reminds me you're the only girl I know. Who makes the rain upon my shoulders cease to fall and brings my tired feet in from the cold. Yeah, she brings my tired feet in from the cold. In from the cold. In from the cold. My darling, I'll hold your memory like gold. You bring me in from the cold. Mornings waking up with the blues reminds me of a girl so far away. Shadows falling and soon you'll hear me calling. I'm coming home and in my arms you'll stay. Yeah, I'm coming home and in my arms you'll stay. And when the cold wind on my tired eyes resigns, the highway signs, white lines foretold. Just a few more hours and I'll be at your door. And once again be coming in from the cold. Yeah, once again be coming in from the cold. In from the cold. In from the cold. My darling, memory like gold, you bring me in from the cold. In from the cold. In from the cold. My darling, I'll hold your memory like gold. You bring me in from the cold.
bluegrass from Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee by Fireside Collective, a four-piece who call Asheville home and who recorded their second disc, Life Between the Lines, at East Tennessee State University. They're led by mandolin player Jesse Iaquinto, and their sound is true to the vision of bluegrass's founding fathers, while still making music that is unique to themselves. Their approach to vocals may remind you more of latter-day groups like Chatham County Line or Infamous String Dusters than Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys or the Stanley Brothers. Jesse Iaquinto describes the band as, quote, bluegrass, newgrass, perhaps progressive folk. Depending on where you come from and your experience with folk music, you may think we're very traditional or, on the other hand, consider us a progressive act. We appreciate both ends of the spectrum and may lie on a different end on any given night. You can hear Fireside Collective on Mountain Mornings, weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m., and on Going Across the Mountain, starting at 11 a.m. and running until 7 on Saturday here at WNCW. Starting us was a man who is no stranger to Appalachian traditions, Tyler Childers, and the title track from his debut album Purgatory. Part autobiography, part Southern Gothic storytelling, it's a remarkable disc produced by Sturgill Simpson, who, with his first production credit outside his own work, and David Ferguson, who has worked with the likes of U2 and Johnny Cash. Childers takes you deep into the backwoods of sin and temptation, moonshine and cocaine, and back into the land of redemption, or in the case of that song, at least in the middle ground of purgatory. Coming up, DJ for a Day with WNCW's Scotty Robertson, a little musical foreshadowing from Dr. John. WNCW's new music podcast, On the Way Up, and another DJ for a Day. Today, what happens when things don't go right for you as the DJ? I'm joined by WNCW's Scotty Robertson. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey now, Joe. Yes, I'm feeling better about this already. Yeah, wait, it's going to be a complaint session, isn't it?
It's one of those things where it's so funny to talk about it afterward.
The opportunities for things to go horribly wrong in the middle of an interview are myriad, you know. And whether it's equipment failure that is not your fault or artists that are completely surly or some combination thereof, yes, the chances for embarrassment are just never ending. So if you think the interview business comes at you without the opportunity for dings and scarring, you're horribly wrong.
Yes, it happens. So what gave me the idea was this road trip that I took recently, and we'll not divulge the names involved. You could probably put two and two together if you follow this radio station closely enough.
But we're protecting the innocent.
Exactly. Here. So I decided it's a good idea to go do a live remote, and we've done these things a number of times. We take what's called a zip unit. It's an internet-based device that connects back with our its mate unit here in Spindale, so you can go out to a place and just connect to their internet, and voila, you've got the radio station broadcasting from wherever.
Sounds easy, doesn't it, Joe?
It's so easy when it works. So last week was one of those weeks where I decide to go off and gallivant into another town and hook the thing up. Well, the band's late, first of all. And so that's key because we've got a deadline and we cannot go past a certain time. So it was made clear to everybody involved that this has to start at a certain time. They have to be done by this one time for sure. And so that was the first problem.
Once again, you're assuming that the message is of equal importance to everybody that's receiving it.
And it wasn't entirely their fault. I have to give them partial credit for the fact that there was a remnant of a hurricane involved. And driving in a Sprinter van through hurricane remnants,
things go wrong
throughout the night is very problematic. So that threw them back. And then there's the question of getting in touch with Spindale and making these things connect, which was the next problem. I guess it was all rendered moot because really there was no chance that it was going to go live, period. But it was another thing on top of that that was making me question my sanity in choosing to go out there was like, why? And this happened before. It's not the first time that this thing has given me problems.
We have had some issues with equipment, as every broadcast entity does. You know, things just happen. And it's important then you go into interviews like this or any other one, Joe, with the ability to be somewhat nimble and forgiving to those about you. You know, you have engineers working on your behalf to try to pull this thing off, and you have a band around you, and for the most part, you think that they want this thing to come off and be happy and cool. But, yeah, it doesn't always play out that way. And so it's best if you wear your thick skin to the event and try to make happy with everybody, because things can go wrong.
Yeah, and that's the right attitude. That's where I tried to put myself. Early on, I realized it was going south. I realized that I could kind of be snippy and leave, or stick around and try to make some friends and make the best of it.
Well, Joe, you know, if it makes you feel any better, I've had a few of these over the years. Yeah, you know, sometimes they're, once again, we're protecting the innocent, or they're
right.
Not so. But artists occasionally come in with their own baggage. You know, maybe they've been driving a long night. It's a hard tour, right? That's understandable. Drinking a lot or engaging in other dangerous behavior before an interview almost always turns out horribly wrong. I can assure you of that. Mm. And then there are folks who really don't want to be interviewed. No matter how you've been led to believe that that is not the case, because there are promoters and record company executives, and they really want to get their guy or gal on the air, they're going to tell you that it's going to be the best interview ever. And occasionally, that is so horribly wrong. I've had a couple of those where the artist simply was not interested in being interviewed that day for whatever reason, and they demonstrated it throughout the course of the interview. And you or I or anybody else that's in charge of an interview is going to try to pull the best out of somebody, and you're going to try to stick with it as long as you possibly can, you know, thinking that it's going to turn at any moment and you're going to get that snippet, that bright, shining moment that's going to engage everybody listening. And sometimes, you know what, that does not happen. Sometimes that cat just really wants to get back in his van and take a nap or, you know, have that meal at the Waffle House. And there's really nothing you can do about it except grin and bear it. Or you can be snippy and finish your interview early and dismiss them. But, you know, I think you're right. In all of these things, it's best to take the upper road and try to be forgiving and, you know, take your lumps.
Yeah, the time that the artist showed up for an interview, a live session here at the radio station with a 12-pack in his hand and then got mad that we made him take it away because you can't do that here, and then starts to mention it in the interview, that makes it a little difficult.
That's where live radio is so exciting.
That's where you wonder why.
You know, Joe, something else comes to mind, too. In doing interviews, I think I've had a few episodes where the internet was, you know, could be a blessing or a curse. You know, years before, I'm old enough that I've done some of these things, you know, pre-internet. And there were many opportunities for screw-ups along the way there because the information just simply wasn't passed on. Yeah, I remember doing one interview with an individual, and I was so confident that I was pronouncing her name right, and got to the end of the interview, and it had gotten progressively stickier and thicker as we moved through it. And at the end of it, I was completely berated by this woman because I had been introducing her to the audience repeatedly throughout the interview and mispronouncing her last name. So she waited until the very end to dress me down about the whole thing. So once again, you skulk away with your tail between your legs. And, so, you know, the pitfalls in the business of interviewing, they're out there, folks. And don't think that it's always easy. There's things that can go wrong. But once again, it's all in good fun for the most part. And as you approach it with that spirit, then most folks have a great time with it.
Yeah, we try real hard to keep up that sort of veneer of nothing is going wrong here. It's like, to pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thanks for being on, Scotty.
Yeah, brother. It's always fun. And this interview went pretty well.
I think so.
Well, I've been in the wrong place, but it must have been the right time. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong song. I've been in the right vein, but it seems like a wrong on. Cause I've been in the right world, but it seems like the wrong.
Now it's time to head down into the mines of Wales with this one from the band Public Service Broadcasting.
She gave away the secrets of her past. said I must control again. And if a voice had told her when and where to act, she said I must control again.
That's our segue of the week, and She's Lost Control, from Joy Division's stunning first album, Unknown Pleasures. Joy Division is a band that you can hear in our nighttime music mix on shows like Arc Overnight, hosted by Rob Daves, along with our volunteer DJs, and that's where we are currently spinning the concept album Every Valley from the band Public Service Broadcasting. It's all about coal mining around South Wales, meticulously researched and conceptualized by the band's guitarist and synth player, Jay Wilgoose, Esquire. He spoke with everyone from miners to authors, researchers, and historians, among others, leading up to recording the album, which includes samples from old film reels, The Dick Cavett Show, universities, and libraries, alongside the music. In the liner notes, Wilgoose writes about the record. It's intended to be a broad sweep of history, taking in the time of prosperity and pride and moving through the anger and conflict of the 1980s to a kind of sad acceptance that what was once the lifeblood of the valleys is no longer there, replaced by something far more intangible. Good stuff. The band's website is publicservicebroadcasting.net. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening, and please support the artists you enjoy hearing on this podcast. We appreciate your support here at WNCW also, and you can become a member anytime by visiting our website at wncw.org. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It's available on the NPR One app and the Google Play Music Store. You can catch me on Twitter at WNCWJoe, and I look forward to hearing your comments and ideas about On the Way Up. I'm Joe Kendrick, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be your host. Eliza Lynn gives us our theme music to close out the show.
Sing a new song. Sing a new song where the sky meets.